In 1 John 3:8, it says, "The reason the Son of Man came was to destroy the devil's work." Now, obviously, in the context of that passage, it implies sin and all its consequences over our life. Acts 10:38 says how Christ was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power and went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. So Jesus, in every part of his ministry, bringing forgiveness to sinners, bringing healing to those who are sick, deliverance to those who needed setting free, was about destroying the devil's work over people's lives. This morning, my aim is to inspire you to rise up, to in a sense say, whatever the enemy has been doing in my life or the life of my family, it has to be destroyed. We have to go after the power of God to break through into our circumstances and our situations. And I don't want that just for you. I want you to be free so you can go out and bring that kind of freedom, healing, and hope to others around you. I know for myself that one of my life callings, if you like, is what I see here, to destroy the devil's work over people's lives. And so today is not just a teaching segment, because I am absolutely passionate about seeing people set free to see God's healing break through into our midst. And in fact, at the end of this talk, I am going to look for two primary school age children, preferably grade 4 to grade 6, and two teenagers, because at the end of the service, I am going to invite a certain need for healing to come forward. And we will pray out the front, and I am asking God for a miraculous healing that is totally visual, that these young people can see firsthand the glory of God. Okay? I don't control the outcome, but that's what I'm going after. You say, well, Ken, what if nothing happens? Okay, if nothing happens, we didn't lose anything, did we? But what if something does happen? These young people will forever be marked by the reality that the God of the Bible is still alive today and won't struggle, as most of us in our generation do, with this sense of, is God really powerful? Can he really change our circumstances and situations? And I want another generation to rise up that doesn't struggle the way I have had to struggle to come to this place of power and deliverance and healing and salvation for people. Let me read to you from Mark chapter 6 and verses 1 to 5, and then I'll read towards the end of Mark. Mark chapter 6. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that has been given him that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "Only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them, and he was amazed at their lack of faith." Isn't that interesting? In Jesus' hometown, he couldn't, not even the Messiah, Son of God, could do the miracles in his hometown. And Jesus was actually astounded because the very issue was they couldn't get past the offense that we know who this Jesus is in the fact that he grew up here, and they couldn't see past it. And yet that unbelief restricted what God wanted to do. Let's look to the end of chapter Mark, verse 53 and through to 56. Mark 6:53. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. In Nazareth, did they recognize Jesus? Well, they recognized the outward form of Jesus, but they did not truly recognize who he was. But these guys recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. What was the difference between these two places? See, often we say, yeah, it's not God's will to heal because I asked once and nothing happened. But there's something different between those in Nazareth and those in Gennesaret. In one place, Jesus could hardly do bar a couple of small healings. And in the other place, every single person who reached out recognizing who Jesus was healed. See, if I talk like this, some of you, you know, afterwards you'll say, yeah, but not everyone's healed. Okay, it's easy to say that. Anyone can say that. Anyone in Nazareth could say, well, we know who Jesus is. He grew up here. Well, how can he be doing miracles? But why not say, well, what's it going to take for us to see all healed? What's it going to take for us to push in and receive in ways we've never received before? I know unbelief is a struggle for us. The man in the Bible that says, I believe, help my unbelief. Most of us are there. I'd like us, if you are willing, just if you're carrying any kind of unbelief, it's not about me, it's about Jesus. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you would like to, just in a prayer, just quietly before you and God, just give God any unbelief and say, God, I'm struggling here, but help me move from where I am to where I can dare to believe the impossible can still happen. Jesus, by your Spirit, would you just put a deposit in our heart? And Lord, I know I've been there. And at times it still comes up. But Lord, I confess any unbelief. And we want to let it go. And Lord, open our eyes, open our hearts to dare to believe that you can still work your mighty wonders today. Help us to trust you when we don't see it straight away. Help us to have a fire of determination to pursue it until we see all that you desire outworked in our lives and the lives of our family and those around us. In Jesus' name. Okay. Sophie's going to come and share part of her story of what God's been doing for her. And then following Sophie, Dan's going to come. Thanks.
Hi everyone, I'm Sophie. I'll just tell you a bit about myself. I'm 23 and I was always raised to believe in God, but I was never close to God. The relationship that I describe I had with him was like a window, and I could see him through this window, but I couldn't open it to talk to him. I felt blocked and I began to lose myself in a fast-paced lifestyle, drinking, partying, smoking, and I was constantly searching for something and I couldn't find it. But God knew me better and he put people on my path to bring me back to him. It was only a few weeks ago that I came to the Vineyard Church for the first time, and it was only because I wanted to see what church my boyfriend was going to. And probably looking back on it now, it was probably to get in the good books with his parents as well. Sorry, Ken. So I primarily came here as an observer. But little did I know, God had big plans. He used my superficial intentions to his advantage and ultimately for my own benefit. That day, Jeff, the pastor, invited people up for healing. Now, I have a condition called scoliosis, which is a curvature of the spine. It causes my spine to be twisted. And it also causes my hips to be unbalanced. I had a fear of stepping out and getting healing for that because I was scared to make a fool of myself. So Jeff then asked for people to stand up for fear. At that moment, I knew that was me. It was my time. God had waited long enough. As I stood, I was shaking so much that my hands were trembling and the tears were streaming down my face. On the spot, Ken began to pray for me. And sure enough, the spirit of fear began to manifest in me. And while that was happening, I had a vision of Jesus ripping the masking tape off my mouth. He was calling me not to be afraid and to speak out. He also showed me a vision that my spine would eventually become straight. It's amazing how after one church service, it can unravel 23 years of unrighteous living. I certainly didn't expect to manifest on my first day here. But that day was a crucial step to my journey, which would eventually lead me to freedom. So after that day, Ken brought me to Lorna's house, which is a prophetic lady, and they both invited God to bring things to the surface for me. And the first things that came to the surface were feelings of fear, loneliness, and abandonment. And the key thing was Ken didn't ask God to heal me straight away. He wanted to get to the root of the problem and really listen to what was going on with me. And we found that it stemmed from the fact that I always resented my parents for being an only child. And I felt alone and abandoned every time they left me to go to work and left me at creche. But God showed me that they actually had trouble conceiving and that I was a miracle child. The second spirit that had me tightly bound was the occult. In the past, I went and saw psychics because I always wanted to know what would happen in the future because I wanted control of my life. And that explains why I was always afraid of the dark. I was scared of dying. And I was really scared, for some reason, of Satan taking over me. I had insomnia, anxiety. It led me to depression and even to the point of wanting to suicide. I'll never forget that day where I stood in front of a busy highway and God sent me a friend to save me from that day. Ken then commanded each spirit to leave me one by one. He allowed God to give him that authority to do that for me. Again, I manifested. And after they left, I felt weak, but definitely lighter. I felt renewed again. And Lorna saw me with beautiful white robes. After that, Ken had the urge to pray for my back, and I didn't believe that anything could happen. He sat me down on a chair and he asked God to grow one leg because I had one leg shorter than the other and my hips were unbalanced. So he began to pray and they started to grow ever so slightly until they were dead even. I went to the mirror to check my hips and sure enough, they were dead even too. It was so incredible that we began to dance and sing and joy and praise Jesus. And it was such a gift because God had orchestrated a beautiful succession of events that led to my freedom. And I now sleep easily at night and I don't stress anymore. Unfortunately, the doubt did take over me, and Satan did try to unravel any good healing that Jesus had done in my life. But I just keep continually persevering and praying to God to keep my back straight. So now that closed window that I described before, that's flung wide open. I have a new relationship with God, and I love talking to him. He turned me from a few weeks ago, this frightened little girl standing up here, to now a strong woman of God, a tall soldier fighting in his army. So be encouraged that God sees your heart's desires, even if you don't know them just yet. Because it's only in Jesus that we can find true salvation. Trust that in everything he has perfect timing. He loved you before he created the earth. And he had beautiful plans for your life already laid out. God has invited you to his grand ball. And Jesus has given you a gorgeous new gown to wear. All you have to do is walk the red carpet that has been laid out for you.
Thank you, Sophie. Dan, come on down. And even though some of the doubt let some of the pain begin to come back for Sophie, when we prayed again, God finished what had started, and the pain instantly left as we prayed again. So God is awesome, and now it's Dan's turn. Thanks, Dan.
Whoa. That was awesome to hear that. Sophie, thank you. Well, I better just follow what I've written, otherwise I'll go on for an hour, because I'm really excited about what God's doing. At the age of about 4 or 5, I said a sinner's prayer and received Jesus, literally with the faith of a child. I grew up in the church. We said grace before dinner. And while my parents rarely talked openly about spiritual matters, there was great support in my growth by encouragement to choose friends wisely, go to Sunday school, youth group, and Mum would regularly buy me devotional studies like Every Day with Jesus. Over the course of my life, I've chosen to buy into all these things and seek the love of God and relationship with him. Over the years, as I've searched to find myself and where I fit, I've struggled with confusion, striving, guilt, shame, lack of worth, passiveness and timidity, lack of abundance, and fear, to mention a few. And that's not mentioning all the sin that results in being bound up in these areas. Keep in mind, this is the life of a Christian who should be walking in the life, freedom and power of Jesus. Though I've never gone to rebellious extremes, what's been missing is freedom and a sold-out passion in God. And that's what I really wanted. Around 15 years ago, the search became very intentional and focused for me, especially to resolve matters of relationship with family and friends and how I understood God and his love. I wanted more. Also around this time, I began to have problems with my back. In the physical, it seemed to be traced back to a fall I had off a ladder on the family orchard when I was picking apples. However, over the years, it's been tied to my spirit. Countless times I've had prayer for my back, crying out for healing. I reached a level of relief through chiropractic, but there was like a wall I couldn't break through, and whenever I tried to exercise, I'd get more pain. Last year at the Graham Cook Conference, I received the first of many words of knowledge, pictures and scriptures that form what my persona in God was. As Graham says, persona is the way God sees us, not the way we see ourselves, which is usually out of our negativity and personality. Early this year, God gave me certainty. This year was about getting strong. Strong in every way, physically, mentally, and spiritually. And not knowing how this would happen, I kept making decisions that would put me in a position to learn more, receive more, and yes, give more. And this has included doing GTM with Ken, and it's been an integral part of getting strong. On the Freedom Weekend, as a part of the course, I received prayer for my back, and Tim's here today, and Leah, they prayed for me. And I had some encouraging words for my journey to get strong. Now, at that time, I had an instant change. For weeks, I was walking around. I was like 110%, bouncing, loads of energy and no pain. It was fantastic. And just as I thought I'd start doing some exercise, I had the return of agonizing pain. And then a couple of months of real ups and downs, but mostly more pain than I've experienced in a long time. And only a few weeks ago, the pain became so bad that my whole back was contorted. I was bent forward and twisted to one side. I sought prayer from anyone willing to pray for healing and refused to go to the chiropractor. On a number of separate occasions, people had words and pictures relating to boldness and lions and speaking out. These are the very themes that Steve Wheatley Price had seen when he prayed for me at the Graham Cook Conference last year. I'd become fed up by Monday morning this week. After several days of relentless pain and stiffness, I called Ken and he agreed to pray for me that afternoon. Well, what followed was more than 2 hours of waiting on God, thanking him and praising him, and then responding to what he showed us. Well, Ken prayed directly for healing to my back many times, and each time there was some improvement. Each time we'd thank him for that and ask for more. As we went along, I kept checking my back and just be amazed that it was definitely better, but equally amazed that there was still some pain there. Ken invited Nikki, who's Ken's administrator, to pray too, and she had some words that also helped to bring more freedom to me. She was prompted to ask, "Why don't you speak out? What is it you're holding back?" To which I said, "I really don't know." So God asked to show me. Oh, sorry, we asked God to show me, and then in a few moments, God spoke to me and showed me clearly a series of things that he threaded together, and it was the big uh-huh moment, like uh-huh. Now, God was bringing back to mind many things that had come up in prayer ministry previously, but with new purposes attached, to bring healing and release in my spirit so I could rise up, so I could be upright, bold and outspoken for him, nothing holding me back. And this year has been about clearing out the house and clean it, he has done. In checking in with the back again, it was better, but I could still feel something there. Ken said, "Let's check in with God and see if he wants us to keep going." Well, very quickly, you've got the scripture. Ken got the scripture, Joshua 11:8, which is, he didn't know what that was, so he read it out, and it says, in the context of Joshua fighting for the conquest of northern Israel, "And the Lord delivered them to the hand of Israel, who defeated them and chased them to the greater Sidon, to the brook of Misrepoth and the valley of Mizpah eastward. They attacked them until they left none of them remaining." So we continued. Now, Nikki felt it was strange, but she felt that I need to walk around the chairs in the chapel. This is at St. Matt's. And I was willing to do whatever, so I got up and walked around the chairs. And after checking my back, it still felt sore. So she said, "Go again and keep going." Now, this seems strange, but I was prepared to submit to God in the process. And I think that was probably key. It went from walking to running, jumping, stomping, skipping. And all the time, we're all praising him and jumping up and down. It was quite a scene. By the end of this, I was remarkably improved, to say, compared to how I'd walked in, yet still not 100%. But when I arrived home, got out of the car, I noticed some return of the pain and stiffness, but it never got as bad, which I was really thankful for. Now, the following night was GTM again, and I shared my story for those who hadn't heard. Those there gathered around in support of seeing this finished. Now, Emma Healy was there. She said she had conviction I needed to roar. Right. Well, when she said it, I just knew without a doubt. I had to as well. Now, God's ways are not our ways, and I thank him for that. It means we can't take credit for the change he does in us. If we try to do it our way, we'll take credit. So the group gathered around me, speaking praise, giving thanks, praying in tongues. Emma prayed and then commanding roar, I did. I'll let others testify to that part of it. Now, that moment, something broke. But at the same time, I was repaired. The old me became less and the persona he has given me increased. Under the Holy Spirit's power, I fell down and lay on the floor for some time. And after a while, I was asked how my back was. I moved to get up and immediately felt it was vastly improved. In fact, I bounced off the floor and called out, "It's good, it's great." I moved around. There was still this little niggle left, and I felt like the last bit of healing will come through taking action. It will be in the continual praise and thanks to what God has done in me, and just to keep claiming the healing I have in Jesus and putting into action what he's called me to. And each day this week, my back has just got a little stronger in spite of doing things that would usually cripple me, like bending down on the floor, painting skirting boards and climbing through roof spaces. It's just amazing. So praise God, he's totally awesome.
God's good, devil's bad. You should always remember that. God is good, devil is bad. Sometimes we get it a bit confused. That scripture, Joshua 11:8, that God gave us, because I was asking God, you know, we'd been at this a long time, and we had prayed, and then we'd checked, we'd prayed, we'd checked, and then we'd worship and wait on God. God, what are we missing? And we just went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And, you know, I must have commanded healing, you know, on at least 12, 15 separate times. And so you can understand me saying, God, do we keep pursuing this, you know? And then the actual verse that God gave was, you know, they pursued them here and they pursued them there and then they pursued them there until every last enemy was destroyed. And that gave us that encouragement and faith to keep going, to say, yes, this is what God wants. We are not to give up because it's hard going. We are to go after this and destroy every trace of the devil's work in Dan's life. And little by little, God in him is rising. When he roared, he roared, and then he roared, and he roared, and he roared, and then he just went bang on the floor. And 10 minutes, I think, 5, 10 minutes, he was down there, and God was doing something. We were just like, wow. We were all going nuts, but it was good. It was good. How much to share, hey? I'll share a snippet of one of my life lessons. And this was when I was first church planting many years ago. And I gave a message called Power. You know, the titles we put on sermons, you know, crazy stuff. But it was called Power. And I preached my heart out and I pictured myself like Peter getting out of the boat, you know, and God was going to come through and I was going to walk on water and, you know, healings were going to take place and God's power would be released. And at the end of the service, invited people forward, and the first person I was praying for was a man with tinnitus or ringing in the ear, I think it is, whatever you call that. Ringing in the ear, damage had been done through industrial work and loud music from the past, and prayed and prayed and prayed and nothing, absolutely nothing. Next person I prayed with, you know, sleep apnea, and we said, God, what is it we need to deal with, and dealt with what we could and prayed, and over the coming weeks, you know, nothing, no change. In fact, no one that any of us prayed for had any change. There was no power at all in the service. And I just preached my heart out about power and stepping out, that God's power would be released. And there was nothing. Well, I went away from there, and I'll be really honest. I did the old let's pat myself on the back trick. I said, well, God, I did my part, but you didn't come through. And so, you know, that was the attitude. Sorry, but that was the attitude I had. And then that week I was in an accountability group and we held each other accountable to read a certain number of chapters of Scripture each week. And so we had assigned the book of Joshua, 24 chapters, that we would read right through before we met again.
So I was behind a little bit, and so it was after the Sunday that I started reading through Joshua, and I just prayed, God, would you unfold to me the lessons and principles for my leadership and ministry? And every part that I read, I was like, wow, I was writing down the principles and the truth. And then it got to this passage of Scripture, one of those passages of Scripture that you're very, very tempted to skip over. You know, and it was saying how they were divided. This tribe was given that land, and this tribe was given that land, and it went from this town to that river to that mountain to this rock and that tree, and included this town, but this border, it didn't include that town because that town was in the neighbor's tribe. And I was reading through this absolutely boring passage of Scripture. And then I read these words from Joshua chapter 17 that has forever, forever changed my life. And it was this, from verse 14. The people of Joseph. Now, Joseph, remember, had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And so Joseph, treated like the firstborn with a double inheritance, was given two sons that would have a tribe each. So they became part of the 12 tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh, sometimes referred to as Joseph, sometimes as their individual names. So verse 14, the people of Joseph said to Joshua, why have you given us only one allotment and one portion for an inheritance? We are numerous people and the Lord has blessed us abundantly. If you are so numerous, Joshua answered, and if the hill country of Ephraim is too small for you, go up into the forest and clear the land for yourselves there in the land of the Perizzites and Rephites. The people of Joseph replied, you're still looking for the gold in the rocks, aren't you? Listen. The people of Joseph replied, the hill country is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites who live in the plain have iron chariots. Both those in Beth Shan and its settlements and those in the valley of Jezreel. But Joshua said to the house of Joseph, to Ephraim and Manasseh, you are numerous and very powerful. You will have not only one allotment, but the forested hill country as well. Clear it, and its farthest limits will be yours. Though the Canaanites have iron chariots, and though they are strong, you can drive them out. Now Joshua was like saying to these tribes, hey guys, stop your whinging. God has promised us the whole land. Clear the hill country, don't be lazy. And as for those Canaanites with iron chariots, God is with you. You can drive them out. It doesn't matter how powerful and stubborn they are and how resistant they are to go. So when I read that passage, I had one or two conclusions I could make. I could say, well, I can settle for the territory that I've already got. We've seen a couple of people come to the Lord and even some freedom happening for people. But when we tried to fight the enemy over the area of supernatural healing, we found and discovered the enemy has iron chariots. So I could have concluded and said, well, it's just too hard. It's not meant to be. It's not God's will. I stepped out. God didn't do anything. So let's just be content and be happy with the blessings we've got. But that wasn't my response. There was something that ignited within me. I said, no, I will not settle for less than God's promises. He promises in his word that when we command in the name of Jesus, the demons will flee, that healing will take place, miracles will manifest. God has put in my heart a desire for revival for this nation. I'm not going to settle for one and two people coming to the Lord. I will not stop until I see a move of God for this nation. I will not stop at one or two people getting healed. God wants healing released unlike we have ever seen before. God wants not just one or two healed of a headache or something like that. He doesn't just want you free of one little temptation. He wants you delivered. He wants you whole. He wants the power of darkness and the works of the devil destroyed in your life. And I rose up within me and I cried that out. And I declared it again and again. I said, even though I fought an enemy with iron chariots, I will not give up. Because God has given me a promised land that I am to possess for God's kingdom and his glory. And I declared it, and I declared it, and I declared it. Well, that night, we had our Alpha course in our home, and it was the healing night. And one of the ladies, at the end of the night, there's a few people away, and I just said, "Look, if anyone wants healing, you know, we're pretty relaxed. You know, you just stay behind, and you're free to go." A few people sort of wandered off, and it ended up being just my wife and I, one other brand new believer, Victor, and another lady who is a new believer as well. And so this lady said, "Yes, I would like some prayer. I get these headaches and pains and different things." And so we said, "Okay, let's just ask God, is there anything that could be causing this or hindering your healing coming?" And the word came up, anger. And she said, "Yes, I get very, very angry." And so we started to deal with that and the reasons behind it and led her to forgive some people. And then we started to pray and say, "In Jesus' name, we break this anger over this lady's life." And now this is very early in my ministry since Bible college. And there's a reaction starting to go on in this lady. And it's like, you know, you're looking at her eyes, but it's like she's not home and something else is looking out through those eyes. And I sort of twigged. I'd seen a little bit through my parents' ministry and had a little bit of touching the edge of it myself. And I began to command this spirit of anger to leave. Well, this woman, you know, she's letting out an almighty scream. This is in her lounge room, you know, just uncontrolled scream as this spirit of anger finally leaves. Well, the new Christian next to my wife, they're sort of looking at each other. My wife, who had never seen this at all, she's trying to say, "Yeah, it's all right, it's all right." You know? And then we said, "Okay, is there anything else there?" And then another thing would come up, and another thing would come up. And I bound the screaming going on. And each one, she got set free. There's about five strongholds that left her. And one came up that named itself as pain. And I said, "Jesus bore our pain on the cross. You go in Jesus' name." And she was set free. And then we prayed for her eyes. She had glaucoma of the eyes. And God gave me a prophetic word. I don't often get prophetic words, but I just had this sense. I said, "God will totally heal you as you allow God to do the inner healing in your life." And over a three-year period, as God kept working in her life, her eyesight continued to improve until 3 years later. She was so excited to say, "It is totally clear. It is all trace of it's gone." And God had done the work. But I learned a lesson that day. And the lesson was, you can settle and make friends with the enemies like the Israelites did, or you can decide to rise up and say, "No, we have been given authority from heaven to pursue these things for our lives, for our families' lives, for those around us." See, do you know what happened to that generation? Many of the tribes found it hard going to get rid of some of the Canaanites, so they ended up letting them stay and tried to put them into forced labor. But by the time you're reading into Judges chapter 2, it says this, and I'll read. Judges chapter 2, verse 1 and 3 to start with. "The angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, 'I brought you up out of Egypt and led you into the land that I swore to give your forefathers. I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall not make a covenant with the people of this land, but you shall not make," I'll read that, verse 2, "and you shall not make a covenant with the people of this land, but you shall break down their altars, yet you have disobeyed me. Why have you done this? Now, therefore, I tell you that I will not drive them out before you. They will be thorns in your sides, and their gods will be a snare to you." And then I read from verse 8 to 15. "Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110, and they buried him in the land of his inheritance at Timnath in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash. After that, a whole generation had been gathered to their fathers. Another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshipped various gods of the peoples around them. They provoked the Lord to anger because they forsook him and served Baal and Asherahs. In his anger, Israel, the Lord handed them over to raiders who plundered them and sold them to their enemies all around, whom they were no longer able to resist. Whenever the Israelites went out to fight, the hand of the Lord was against them to defeat them, just as he had sworn to them, and they were in great distress. Where did the gods of Baal and Asherah come from? Canaanites. If you do not rise up to defeat the area that the enemy has over your life, and you try to settle with him present somewhere in your life, in your family's life, there will come a day that Canaanite within you will rise up stronger and it will destroy you in some area of your life. You can settle for that if that's what you want, but I will not settle for that, because God has called us to fight, to rise up and fight for our spiritual inheritance and all the provision that God has brought into our lives. See, I am sick and tired of a generation that doesn't believe, of a generation that doesn't know the power of God. I don't want my kids, I don't want the kids in this room growing up adopting our lack of faith, our lack of victory. Someone's got to break through so that it's easier for them. And because the generation following Joshua, they no longer saw the miracles. And yet it was there for them all along. Today, I am inviting, first of all, anyone here, if you know you have one leg shorter than the other, or you have some kind of back trouble that you suspect it may be throwing out your posture and affecting the equalness of your legs and the straightness of your spine. Is there anyone like that? Because what I will like to do is just invite you out, sit you in a chair. I'm going to get my kid volunteers around me, and we will pray for that leg to come straight, for the back and anything that's out of alignment to come into true alignment. Is there anyone that's you and you'd like us to pray like that? You would, Ray? Okay, come stand up here. I'll get a drink. Tell us the problem.
Hi, Ray. It's my name. I was hit by a car about nearly 5 years ago while I was on my motorbike. Did a Superman through the air. Did a somersault, landed on my feet, which then caused my left ankle to be, my ligaments to be stretched to the point of where they didn't function properly. I've had an ankle reconstruction in my left ankle. The recovery from that's been long, almost a year and a half. It's still not right. And it's caused my back, the injury that was in my back that I sustained in the accident, to just degenerate to a point of where I have constant pain in my back, and I find it hard to do any sort of manual kind of lifting or heavy work. And I think from standing on my right leg more often than I should has thrown everything out. And I've seen chiropractors, I've seen physio, I've seen lots of different people about getting it fixed, but yeah, it's still pretty bad. So
you're about as they come, eh? Come sit down here. We'll check your legs out. Now, I need two primary school kids that want to be my volunteers. You'd like to be one? Okay. Who else is primary school? Down the back, you'd like to come? Come on. All right, I got three of you. That's all right. Come out. You can all stand on this side. Come around here. Okay, I need two teenagers. That's you come. Got another teenager? All right. Morgan and Kyle. Okay. Let's have a look at your feet. Can you actually put your shoes on? Because the sharp edge of the shoes make it really easy to see if there's any difference and how much. Thank you, Lord. Okay, just hold that. Did I hide him?
Yep.
All right, have a look at that. Come around here, kids, so you can see. Okay. Carl, how much difference is there?
About a centimeter. About
a centimeter? Okay. All right. Okay. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke the spirit of infirmity and pain caused by this accident and injury, and I command a realignment in this spine, in these legs, and let it lengthen in the name of Jesus. Let it lengthen in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, let it all come straight. Thank you. Completely, completely. Okay, Kyle?
It's shortened.
Is it the same?
Yeah, about.
What do you reckon, Morgan?
I can't see it from here. Your head was in the way.
Great. You're meant to be watching. What about you, kids? What happened?
Yeah, it's just grown.
It's just grown. Okay, Ray, stand up and check your back out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. Honesty?
It's still a bit sore on the right, yeah.
Still a bit sore on the right. Now, when we were praying for Dan, we prayed. First, it was like nothing, and then it's slight improvement, slight improvement, slight improvement. Yeah. We prayed for his leg. He had a centimeter shorter, his leg. And then it went like, dropped two notches of pain, and we still weren't complete. And little by little, we went. We're going to just pray. Tell us where the worst part is.
Sorry, just lower back.
Okay, kids, I want you to put your hands there. All right? And we're just going to pray. In the name of Jesus, all pain in this lower back, all damage done, we rebuke it now in Jesus' name and release your healing. Release your healing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay, you want to check it out again, Ray? So we're asking the question, is it worse, better, the same?
There's no pain there now. It feels really good. Like, it feels warm and, yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, release him and fill him. Let his power be released in his heart. Let his spirit soar to where he wants to be. We break all crippling, all curses over his body and over his life in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Good stuff. Okay. Hey, kids, you just saw God work a miracle. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Never, never learn that, forget that lesson. All right? Good. Okay, grab a seat. Is anyone else that's got a short leg? Because Morgan here did not see it because of my big head. You got a shorter leg? Okay, out you come, Graham. In the chair.
Can I just say something?
Yeah.
I don't actually have any pain with this at all, and I only discovered 2 weeks ago when I went to get my pants fixed that one leg is 1.5 centimetres shorter than the other. So, there you go.
Take a seat. You got a ruler. Okay, kids will be kids, hey? Okay, I want you guys to come. Gee, that is... You put your hips back right in. Okay, kids, come around this side for a minute so others can see. Okay, I'll just hold the legs up. Okay, all right. Now, anybody who doesn't believe, you're skeptical, you want to just look how short that is? Okay? And there's no pulling of the legs, we're just simply asking God to align whatever is needed. Okay? So someone wanted to measure. All right. Yep. That's about 14 mil, centimetre and a half. In the name of Jesus, hang on. Kyle, you saw the last one? I want you to command this out with me. Come on.
No.
You want to pray? Command it out? You didn't even see the last one.
I know, but I heard it.
You heard it. Okay, come. All right, you pray. You say in Jesus' name, everything to be realigned and this leg to grow.
In Jesus' name... I forgot what you said.
Body realign.
Body realign.
And leg grow out.
And leg grow out.
Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now, thank him. Thank him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, to your glory. To your glory. Watching, kids, watching. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Come close, girls, if you can't see. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. 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 How's that? What do you reckon?
It's a little bit bigger, I think.
Well, look at the heel, not the front.
Okay.
See the heel?
Oh, yeah. The heel's right on there.
See that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, like, the heels are totally, aligned. I think the other one's actually a little bit bigger.
Okay. This, now, this side, it's like this one's, it's grown too far. Okay, this one. In Jesus' name, we command this side to come out equal in Jesus' name. Realign it in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just hold that for a second. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let everything come into alignment now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay. See, right at the heel. I think they're right there. Yep. Okay. Try that out. Thank you, Lord. Okay, good. So God can use you guys. He does. He's pretty awesome, isn't he? How about we just stand and worship God? This is the power of God released. If God can do that, why can't he meet needs in your own life? Why can't he use you to pray for others? Okay, you may struggle in some areas, but start somewhere and then keep going after it. I learned one lesson and then I missed others. And then I had to learn those lessons. And once I got victory, it's like, okay, your faith rises. Once I started seeing three people in about a week and a half healed of legs growing, it's like, well, why can't God do it now? Why not? When I prayed as a teenager for someone's leg to grow, nothing happened. But I tried again. And eventually we won. Okay? Where's the worship team? We got a song to celebrate. And then if you want prayer, come forward any time you like. And I'm going to need some helpers, though. So you kids can pair up with someone and pray too, all right? Good. Dan?
Ken was talking about, what's left in you or what's holding you back, who are the Canaanites in the land? And for me, and I didn't really share this in the talk, but I just want to say on top of what Ken said, that if there is anything as you stand before God that doesn't enable you to stand before him upright and without guilt, without shame, then that's something you've got to deal with and be determined to deal with it. Just set your mind on it if your heart won't take you there. Just make a decision that you'll do whatever it takes to flush yourself clean, because you can stand. We should stand before him without guilt, without shame, without anything to hold us back. And for me, it was, some things seem so trivial and so small, but count nothing as being trivial, because you can't know how different your life will be if you are prepared to face up to everything that he will show to you. So I just encourage you, in fact, I exhort you to do it, because the difference in your life, you just can't imagine.
The lion has spoken. Let's just worship God, and when you're ready, if you want some prayer, if you know you need a lot more time to deal with some stuff, you can book in for prayer ministry. Ring the church here or St. Matt's or the Andrew Centre. Someone will tell you where to ring. Thanks, Beck.